You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 22nd of September 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market rose 0.4% on the S&P ASX 200. We'll have the details with Luke McMillan from Ophir Asset Management in a few moments, including what he's telling his clients. But first, to your retirement, and a new survey from AMP found around half of Australians are not financially confident as they approach retirement. To find out more, Stephanie Youssef spoke with AMP Director of Retirement, Ben Hillier.
So Ben, we're one of the richest countries in the world when you take into account our super balances and our national wealth. So how concerning is it that half of us feel financially insecure about retirement?
It is concerning. You're exactly right. Australia has a confidence deficit. We have the world's envy retirement saving systems, the accumulation system. We've got large amounts of money in superannuation, and yet Australians just simply don't have the confidence that they really deserve. And with only half of us confident about the future in retirement, we think there's certainly more that we can do. It's not necessarily about saving more. It's just simply getting education, access to the right tools and support to enable that confidence to really hit peak.
So why aren't we feeling confident? Like, what's driving that insecurity?
I think there's a number of things. Australians typically overestimate how much income they need to be comfortable in retirement, and they also overestimate how much money they need to generate that amount of income. There's really a lot of uncertainty. I mean, retirement is complex, right? We've got this intersection of tax, superannuation, estate planning, and let's face it, most of us aren't experts in these fields. We have our careers and we don't really necessarily pay attention to the Australian life tables and figuring out what longevity is doing, etc. And so we come to retirement. A lot of times our superannuation has been building in the background and we really haven't been paying a lot of attention to it. And then it's really quite daunting knowing that that feeling when our last paycheck is arriving and we've got to really live on that accumulated savings for the rest of our life is a really daunting phase for us to transition into, and a lot of us unfortunately are underprepared. But look, the good news is there's a lot of things we can do.
This report is an annual one. Have you seen, like, over the years, has it become like increasingly worse in terms of the rates of insecurity?
It has, and certainly we know because of things like rising inflation in the last few years, that's really heightened concerns for a lot of people. And we also know the trends are moving in different directions. We're seeing, unfortunately, some concerning data, especially around gender. And so females, unfortunately, are far less confident about their retirement than males. So only 2 in 5 women are confident about retirement compared to 3 in 5 males. The even more concerning perhaps is those single females, especially those with children. They're amongst the lowest levels of confidence of all Australians.
Well, let's talk about women. What's driving that gender gap in confidence, and like what needs to be done to address it?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's a number of things. Obviously, societal factors. I mean, if you're a single female with children, you're exposed to a number of things that, you know, having children at home may mean you're not in full-time work or you're really struggling with, you know, the dual impact of working, looking after children, paying, you know, childcare costs, etc. And perhaps they also, they're very, very busy, right? And so just not being able to pay attention to finances because of juggling all those other responsibilities makes it harder. I think adding to the burden is the as people in their 40s, and unfortunately, especially females, are what we call that sandwich generation. They're still looking after their own children, but they're starting to look after aged parents as well. And again, that's just, we know quite clearly from the research that there's an unfair gender split in terms of who's carrying the most of that burden between looking after the children and also looking after the parents. And of course, that's going to translate into not being able to focus on the future, and consequently having lower levels of confidence.
Many people would say that the systems are too hard to understand. How important is financial literacy to improving or boosting confidence, and how do we go about improving it?
You're exactly right. Our research very clearly shows that the complexity in the superannuation system in particular is quite daunting for people, and as a result, it impacts their confidence. Our superannuation settings have arisen over time, and I don't think we've had a proper period of simplification. We just simply add more and more and more different regulations and rules to the mix. And look, it's hard for even for experts who work full time in this field to stay on top of all the rules. And certainly we would love to see some simplification around things like how much you can contribute to super, various caps. We know that there's currently proposals for different and new caps to take place. Where we certainly agree that it's fair that people with high levels of wealth pay their fair share, but it would be great if we're introducing new caps, for example, that we take the opportunity to simplify other caps, and so that most Australians can simply navigate a simpler superannuation system.
These findings would be especially concerning for someone who's ne nearing retirement at the moment. What's your advice for those people, maybe people that are like 10, 20 years away from retirement?
Look, for a start, I'd say, and look, this is a generalisation. I know everyone's circumstances are different, and I know some people in particular are doing particularly tough. But in general, Australians are less confident than they need to be. We actually believe that research is quite clear that people can actually be more confident if they had a better understanding about how much their superannuation can actually help in retirement, what other levels of support that they have, and also what safety net is in place. Australia has a wonderful age pension system. It's means tested, which means that if you don't have the means, if you don't have other significant levels of assets or income, then you're entitled to the age pension. And we know that that generally gives people the necessities of life. And also, look, to be honest, there are people who even manage to save money when they're on the age pension. It's not a lavish lifestyle, and so it sits to, hand in hand or side by side with the superannuation system to give an even higher standard of living. But look, it is a good safety net. And of course, we also have support for disabled Australians and those in aged care on top of the age pension benefit. So look, my message is that Australians ought to feel more confident. We do have a good safety net system. We have a wonderful superannuation system with a really significant pot of accumulated savings across the community. And so we think there's a number of things you can do. Number one, just start off with your superannuation fund. Have a chat to them. They will very likely have some levels of financial advice available. At AMP, for example, you can use our digital advice tools. It's free. It's really easy to navigate, and you don't need to be embarrassed talking to an advisor that you don't understand all the rules. And so we found that take up has really increased when we've take up of financial advice has really increased when we put that option on the table. Also, the government has some supporting material at moneysmart.gov.au. There's some calculators, there's tools, there's information to help Australians prepare for the future with greater confidence. In particular, you can see, look, how much do I really need in terms of savings, et cetera, to have have the lifestyle that I desire in retirement. And look, there are solutions available as well. We've seen, for example, that our customers who take a lifetime income stream have significantly higher levels of confidence. They actually spend more. It's remarkable. They spend about 60% more than those who don't have the same solutions of equivalent age and balance. And the reason that's the case is because once you overcome that fear of running out, the most common fear retirees face, you're basically giving yourself permission to spend your money more freely. And that's, for me, a wonderful thing to be able to give people that confidence that, look, their money's never going to run out. And so now I can really enjoy my life without that worry.
That's Stephanie Yusuf there speaking with Ben Hillier from AMP, the Director of Retirement. A closer look now at the Australian share market, which rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.4% to 8,810. Six of 11 sectors ended higher, the best performer by far, materials up around 2.6%, followed by utilities. The worst performing sectors include property and energy. Of the best and worst performing stocks, the best performer on the 200 today was Reece Limited, the plumbing supply group, up by 14%, followed by Genesis Minerals and Greatland Resources. The worst performers include New Hope and Viva Energy, down by 8%. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Luke McMillan, a head of research at Ophir Asset Management. Luke, what's driving our market today?
Well, there was a positive lead coming out of the US on Friday, although it was very much driven by, you know, quality momentum stocks, including the Magnificent Seven. It was the NASDAQ over the S&P 500, and the S&P 500 led small caps. Today's a positive market on the ASX, but really being led by materials and, you know, resource companies, and in particular, gold companies. You look at a lot of the best performing companies today. They've got gold somewhere in their name, or they've got something to do with gold. Without the material sector and its strong performance today, it would be basically a flat market for the ASX 200 so far.
You mentioned the Magnificent Seven. What's your take on the US at the moment, especially given its major indexes are at near or at record highs and ahead of a number of speeches from Fed Reserve officials this week and some inflation data?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big concern for investors, right? Is well, I'd say one, you know, markets are at all-time highs, you know, quite a bit historically. The thing that's more concerning for me is the fact that the S&P 500 is on about a 23 times PE, which is in the, you know, 99th percentile for valuations historically for the US large caps. And if you look at the Magnificent Seven, they're on 30 times PE as a collective. And so there's not a lot of risk priced into markets at the moment. And at the moment, everyone's, you know, definitely glass half full. Rate cuts are coming through, you know, expecting no recession and onwards and upwards.
We're out of reporting season here in Australia, as well as the US. I think they had quarterly numbers out earlier in June. And we're well and truly into September, which I think September is typically a bad month for equities, right? And I think we are down around about 1.3% here for the month. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's often the, you know, seen as kind of the softest month on the calendar for markets, and it has been a softer month here in Australia. If you look at my part of the market, small caps, it's actually slightly positive on the Aussie side of things for small caps. And even if we look at the US, we're still in positive territory so far month to date for the major indices. So, you know, anything can happen. We still have time left in this month. I wouldn't read too much into the seasonality things. It's still, you know, still 40-odd% of kind of the months are generally positive in September. So yes, it tends to be a bit weaker, but it's certainly not every year.
Finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, I think as small cap investors, we've kind of had the wind at our face for probably the last 4 or 5 years with large caps and the Magnificent Seven. And I think the thing that's a bit exciting for us at the moment is, as we've had, you know, rate cut from the Fed last week, first rate cut this year, and now the market's expecting another two before year end, we're starting to see a little bit more breadth come through to share markets and days where you're getting small cap outperformance. And it certainly helps when the small cap part of the market's trading on a 16 times PE in the US. And so that's actually one of the very few parts or very few markets in the world. They're actually trading slightly below average in terms of valuations. And so we think there is a bit more room to run there, particularly when you've got an S&P 500 that is really completely fully valued at the moment.
It is Luke McMillan there, the head of research at Ophir Asset Management. He also wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.